Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Rahmanir Rahim Malik Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim ghayril maghdubi 'alaihim waladdallin. Amen. As a refuge to the lost and rejected enemy, Satan, in the Lord's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. The alone to be worshipped, thine aid we seek. He shows the straight way, we are those going whom thou hast restored thy favors, nor those who are gone astray, nor those thy wrath is brought down. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is 6 June 13, 2023. It's 7:26 now. Apologize for the tardiness. There's something that could not be avoided. Almost didn't come on. But anyway, I'm going to get a little bit more help. I'll go on a sabbatical or something. Anyway, we said that the Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. S is for science, T is for technology, E is for engineering, M is for math. And I always say that to me that all describes the Quran and what we're taught in Islam. Because it covers all of that, and some, of course. But it covers that as well. Also, another co-sponsor is Brother Ayneen Muhammad from Los Angeles. We thank Allah for blessing Brother Ayneen with the Blog Talk Radio Show, and he blessed us with it also, because he shares with us, and we're going to have to do something to help compensate him with this, because he's doing so much. He has so many projects he's working on, as well as the Sister Clara Muhammad STEM schools, and as well as the master there, and all the things that he's into. Plus, he has responsibilities. He just had a death in his family with his one of his aunts, who was of age, I think, in the 90s or something like that. And he has another one that he's caring for now as well. So we have to help out, you know, some kind of way, compensate him some kind of way. We have to help him to keep this Blog Talk Radio Show on the air. And maybe there will be a good incentive for others to come also and help us out. I have been thinking about it myself, and all the things should really be done and need to be done. And while we're trying to carry on with our own everyday lives, our personal everyday lives, and we're trying to stop and also attend to this, because we had committed ourselves, and I don't feel bad about the commitment, because we started off, it was very, very good, because it was different and it was new and it was necessary, but it hasn't gotten old. I mean, the things that we talk about now still are very important and are necessary, you know, to be told to the audience. And I know we too have to trying to work harder on trying to get someone to come on and be sponsors again. I mean, representatives again and presenters again, rather, as I'm trying to say. Because you can tell I have Tim Benchwood being in the process too. So we have to get some. We just got to do better. And I know I'm one. We'll have to do better, or just step aside and let someone else do. You know, never want to hold up progress. So, and I'm not complaining. I just say we need to support. Whether I mean better, and we need more help in supporting him, and we need help as well as finances paying for the Blog Talk Radio Show slots. I'm saying that, you know. And we, or myself, rather, as a sister, Muslim sister, I do have people who confront me with wanting to be on the Blog Talk Radio show as some guests at times. I give them the number, and they also want to be presenters. And I let them know that I'm on, what nights I'm on, Sunday night and Tuesday night, and let them know what night the brothers are on, you know, all the other nights except for on Fridays. But either way, we're in this together, and they can come on any night, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and, well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, every day but Friday. I get it right in a minute. Every day but Friday. So, and they can, if they have any input, please do come on. I'll give them the subjects. We have the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. That includes racial images. We also mention about the second focus, which is the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. And those two topics are what we try and get information about and bring new information and sometimes continue old information, you know, a little further. And we have questions and answers that's offered. So we ask you to share with us your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the removal of all racial images, but removal of all images from worship that portray divine, including racial images, and the psychological effect that the image has on the mind of the world's children. So, I see we don't have, well, that's almost like preaching to the choir, but I'll just go on and say this. If anyone has anything to say now amongst those that are already on the board here, please push one on your phone receiver. You'll be brought into the queue and your mic will be turned on. I'm going to ask or request for Sister Sharifa, which I usually do, well, Dr. Sharifa, which I usually do, if she can spare some time, if she would come on and read us some informational article that she might have seen during the, you know, the time that we haven't been together here. And maybe she can expound on that. And we could share that with us with questions and answers, and maybe she can read, you know, something for us. And I, too, will do the same. And any of the brothers want to contribute something, they can as well. So until until Dr. Sharifa comes on, one more time, now I see the ones who are on, and I know that they should have, if they have something to say, please push one on the phone receiver, because I'm sure that when the brothers, especially the brothers, they come on, they want to say something, you know. It's not going to be super painful out there. Not having anything to say, because I get a little short-winded sometimes myself, and sometimes I'm long-winded, so short-winded today. We will read. We don't have an up-to-date Muslim journal yet either. No current one. The most current one we have is May 13 through May 19, 2023. And it covered graduations. It covered some business. And if the brothers will want to talk about business now, and we can only the first half, and we can talk on that. And make the message concern on the end, or vice versa, you know, vice versa, whichever whichever. Never when I was teaching of Elisan, especially with the message of concern, and were both in both. Okay, so since we don't have a current Muslim journal, we'll have to read from, since we don't have the up-to-date one, the only one we have is what I just gave you the dates of. And I'll be reading from that. I wish I could give you more on the COVIDs right now. I really do want to expound on that, but I think I got to do a little bit more reading myself, because something's different. It says a new strand now of the virus out, and it's the kind that gives you a cold, you know, like a regular cold. And I say, well, maybe this is sinuses, you know, this year. Air is so polluted and messed up. And the virus is still in the air. It hasn't gone anywhere yet. Not really. And then with the heat, it's like in the incubation period where it flares up and it's more prevalent. Hard to shake, you know, like a cold or anything, like in the summertime. Especially when the night falls and the sun goes down, it gets worse. And the nose has been stopped up, you know, and the coughing too, as well. So a non-productive cough is not good. But when you can cough and cough up something, and it's a productive cough, called a productive cough, it's better that way, because you can take tests on it, run tests on it to see if it's tuberculosis or any kind of a virus, or just if it's just a sinuses or just a head cold or something. Okay. You want to talk anything about business? Anybody want to talk about business? Okay. Thing right here, but I don't know if you wouldn't want me to do that one or not. So I'm going to talk about the education here on page 11. And if sister, if Dr. No, it's not her. Yes, it is. It is her. It's like it. Let me, I'm trying to maneuver this computer here now and the paper. Hi, Salaam Alaikum. Is this Dr. Sharifa? Oh, no, this is Suja. I'm sorry, but I think this is Suja. Apologize, Suja. Okay, and I won't call nobody out to see if, since I got the mic open, to see if Sister Ron has anything to say. I won't I'll wait until she pushes. There's an indication that she has something to say. Meanwhile, we go back out of the queue. Okay. I'm going to read the characteristics of good teachers, inspiring spiritual boundaries, since we want to emphasize more on Sister Crab Muhammad schools. Instead of just building masjids, I think this might be a good article to read for it. And it says, characteristics of good teachers, inspiring spiritual boundaries. And it's by Brother Kadir. Brother Kadir Abdus Sabur, PhD. When I studied mathematics as an undergraduate student, there was an expression that I have often heard credited to George Bernard Shaw. Those that can do and those that can't teach. Those who can do and those who can't teach, who cannot teach. This assertion conveys a simple idea people that are highly educated and proficient in their disciplines work in professions that provide suitable rewards for their academic skills. They receive challenging responsibilities, social studies, and monetary rewards. On the other hand, students that are less talented and are unable to complete successfully in our highly competitive society find employment in our nation's classrooms. These supposedly less astute individuals are in fact extremely influential because as a classroom teacher, he or she influences the lives of hundreds of students. In present-day America, teachers hold low professional status. They find themselves challenging, disrespectful students. Somebody's calling me. Challenging disrespectful students. On the other hand, students that are less talented and are unable to complete successfully in our highly competitive society find employment in our nation's classrooms. These supposedly less astute individuals are in fact extremely influential because as a classroom teacher, he or she influences the lives of hundreds of students. In present-day America, teachers hold low professional status. They find themselves challenging disrespectful students, arguing with unappreciative parents, being governed by a rigid hierarchy, and facing possible gun violence. Teaching is a tough job, yet the apparent truism, mentioned above is intuitive, and flies in the face, in other words, challenges the character of dedicated teachers. The Almighty's prophets were teachers and were held in high esteem, just as they provided foundational spiritual knowledge for individual growth, so too should classroom teachers provide academic knowledge as well as excellent models of morals and behavior for youngsters. In today's highly technological society, teachers face a new challenge. These altruistic new challenges are asked to prepare students to face a future that they themselves cannot imagine. My third grade teacher, for example, instilled in me an appreciation for the power of mathematics in 1952 during the era of black and white television. She did not know that her gift of knowledge would be useful in an age of color television, computers, cell phones, and a massive worldwide internet highway. So the classroom teacher should possess several qualities. First, they must have a thorough knowledge of their discipline. University-level teacher certification programs ensure that this requirement is met. They should be empathetic. Students have all types of physical, mental, and emotional challenges to deal with. A successful teacher needs to understand this and provide the necessary support for a student's success. The third component, which I think is the most important, is that teachers should be spiritually bounded. They should never let their conduct and behavior thin beyond divinely inspired limits. They understand to advance human society, good versus evil, right versus wrong, justice versus injustice, and truth versus lies cannot be politically motivated or subjectively defined. These social norms must be built upon a divine platform of human morality. Teachers in possession of these three characteristics are making a huge contribution to the future of our nation. Their greatest reward is not monetary. It is to hear instead a former student return to their classroom and say, "Thank you." I think Aristotle had it correct when he said, "Those that can do, those that understand, teach." That's true. Very true. I agree with that. Okay. That was by Brother Kadir Abdus-Sabur, PhD. He is an education sociologist, imam, husband, father, grandfather, and U.S. Marine Corps Vietnam veteran. Okay. You see a hand that has gone up. We don't know if it's pertaining to what I just read or something they want to share that's different, and we're going to bring them into the queue. It's like she said, yeah, come on. What's wrong with this? Okay. Hi, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Sister Ron, you got it. You're on. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's good.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I want to speak on, yeah, it's something different from what you have read, but what you read was, I agree with everything that you have read. But what I want to speak on is dealing with our children. And then dealing with us as a people. Right now, I heard my brother was, you know, like on the news, all they talking about is the, you know, the ex-president, you know, Trump this, Trump that, and all this. And I said to myself, so some brothers got on and they was talking. I said, now listen to them talking. I said, they don't even, no. First, Cajun guy came on and he was speaking, and he said, now this is exactly what he said, they don't even know the game. And then I turned to my husband, I said, see, you see what he said? He's saying all of this is nothing but a game. And the people, what happened is they don't know the game.
Mm.
And I said, wow.
Yeah.
I said,
He let the cat out of the bag, didn't he? Yeah, he let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, he let the cat out of the bag because he talked about they didn't know the game. And I said to myself, I said, they so busy worried about Trump, but they don't know that's a game. The brothers, they be talking, they was on there talking about Trump this and Trump that. I said, why don't just leave them Caucasians business alone? That's their business. I said, they don't know. Why are they talking about them? I said, they taking over your community. I said, that's just another game, distracting you from these people coming over here from overseas. We got three group of people from overseas coming over here, and they're going to take your community. But you over there worrying about that. I said to myself, it's all a game. That's all that is.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I said, yeah, setting us up. That's right.
They're setting us up. And then all these little apartment things that they out here, they're doing all these little tract houses. You know, and then that's what they're gonna let you move out of your community, out of your out of your backyard. You don't have no backyard, and put your children in a bunch of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, so all they doing is running the game because they already knew. Because they said, oh, Trump is with Russia and all this. I said, well, they knew that the first time because the first thing they said. When he was running for office, that how his daddy was buddy-buddy with the Russian, the president of Russia. So I said, whatever, you know, with his name, you know, but that's what that was. So I said to myself, so who is they? So
So anyway, only thing I got to say is that that's exactly what they're doing, and our people probably know that all they're doing is just running the game, and they already know about how Trump was before he came in. And the problem is they spoiled him. You could tell. The first thing when I saw him, they said, oh, he came over here. His daddy gave him $3 million when he was 16 years old. So that means he hung with the millionaires. So now so what it is, they spoil him. But what his problem is that his problem is that they taught him the game. But you know, but the thing about it, Dyer, you know, you don't tell it all. You don't let him know all of it. So he don't even know all of it. And so how are you going to defeat the one that taught you? That's what I'm saying. How are you going to defeat the one that taught you the game? And so
they're turning to lose and give it to you. That they're turning to say, we're going to have not going to have anything to do with this, going to pass on down to you.
And they said that he was the first president. Look, and they said he was the first president that did this and did that. He was not the first one. If we go back, we'll find, the brothers, the one that was talking, that was saying that he was the first president that did this, they wasn't. I was looking at their age. I said, oh, they weren't born during that time. They was probably little children during the time when Nixon and Bush, no, it was Bush and Nixon when they was running, and they was president. He wasn't there during that time. Because what Trump doing ain't nothing compared to what they was doing.
Yeah, but they kept theirs cooler than Trump.
because they knew. So they knew because they did, because they didn't try to, whatever they did, whatever he's doing, they didn't do it. That's what it was. So, but that's where I would just say that we as a people just need to stay focused on what we have to do, because we got three group of people that's coming over here that don't have no place to stay.
Yeah.
And that means that if they don't put them nowhere, they're going to try to put them right there in your neighborhood, take you out of your house.
Who?
That's right.
They already know where to put them.
So we just need to stay focused. That's the main thing, and take care of our children and raise our children. That's what I would say. It's very important that we children. It's time for us to teach our children, because they are not teaching them nothing in school, and we need to teach our children. And you know what we have to do too, because I can't think of what it was, but it's good for us to teach our children. Although they might not go out on the streets, but they might need it. They might need it. Because I was talking to one of my nieces, and they say, yeah, I remember you told us to do this, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do that, you know. And so it's always good to teach our children, you know, how to protect themselves. You don't know where they go. And then to be aware of certain things that you see that don't go there. And I was, one thing I told my niece when she was out there, you know, she was like 15 years old going out there. And then I told her, I said, two things I want you to tell you. Always, if you and your friend be out there, you know, sometimes it's hard to control them, you know, if you ain't got a man in the house, you know. So I just said, well, I'm just going to teach them something. I said, when you go out there, always you and your friend, that was her cousin, I said, y'all always come back together. I said, don't let her go off till I'm going off with this man. I said, no, y'all come back together. I said, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I told them. And then, look, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to let you talk. And then I told them, I said, when you ride with your friends, somebody, always know your way home. Always, you
know
more.
Right.
If they take you in an unfamiliar area, start getting landmarks. Say, oh, I made a right, you know. Then, no, I know I got to go off with a left. And then when I see this store or this here post or whatever, then I know I got to turn. I'm going to right. I said, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, be more cautious in their locations where they are. Yeah.
That's right.
That's
I said, always know your way home.
That's right.
Because even if you have to call the police. Yeah, and so I said, those are things we have to tell our children, because we don't know what they're going to do. And you don't know when they be out there. And you don't know what their friends is going to do. And like I told, one thing somebody told me, he said that, so when you be going out, when you at a party or somewhere, out somewhere, don't leave your drink and then come back and drink it.
Oh,
I said, don't do that. Even as you with your best friend, you know that they ain't gonna do no harm to you, because I know this is a true story. I know a brother, and they was real close. They were real, real close too. He went out with his friend. They went to a bar, you know, and he don't really drink, but he went to a bar, and he went to go use the restroom, and they put, like, they call it a Mickey. He put a Mickey in his drink. He's a basketball player. He didn't know nothing about it. He didn't do no drugs back that day. He didn't do no drugs, no nothing. So his system is clean. So, but they put a Mickey up in his drink. He drunk it. Then he started acting up, you know. So they took him home. And, they, you know, during that time, you know, you go in and out your window and stuff like that. So they went through the back, went through his bedroom, you know, opened this one and laid him down in the bed to put him to sleep, you know, like that. Let him sleep. Mm. His mama came in there the next day. He was dead.
Wow.
He was dead. And them boys, and both of them never been the same. They never been the same. None of them, they grew up to be nothing, because they couldn't get over that idea that they put that in their brother's drink, their best friend, and that's caused his death. So that's tell you that don't ever leave. If you leave your drink, don't come back, and you leave it, don't come back and drink it. I don't care if you leave with your best friend. Don't come back and drink that drink. You don't leave your drink. If you can't take it with you, don't come back and drink it.
It's true.
And so that's what I'm saying, that we just need to start teaching our children. And then I thought about it, and then I was thinking about myself. They were talking about, you know, on the TV. I said, why is it that we the only one that have a history, that having a history? They had no black history. I don't ever hear no Caucasian history, American history, the Indian history. The China, they all here in the United States, too. I don't hear nobody's history but ours. I said, why is that so?
We got U.S. history. You got U.S. history.
I mean, but they be on TV and stuff. Where they have a day? I mean, they have a day for that?
That was taught in school, the school that I went to in New Jersey. Yeah, it taught U.S. history, but I don't know.
But I'm talking about, do they have a holiday? Like they have Black History Holiday. They have a holiday. Do they have a holiday? We the only one that got a holiday. Why the Caucasian don't have no holiday, or America don't have no holiday? That's what I'm saying.
Good.
Where's the holiday?
Fourth of July is their holiday. Independence
Who
Day.
Who holiday?
Fourth of July. That's considered it. Fourth of July is considered one of their holidays. You know, and then you got the and definitely the Jews got theirs. They got young.
What holiday they got? Who?
Yom Kippur, New Year's for Jews, and they have a Passover. They have the Passover, right around Easter time. That's
no,
Jews.
No. Passover don't count, because it goes for like Ramadan. That's I know the Jews
don't
count, but it's not a.
Jews.
I know, but it's not like a holiday, because it's just like we have in Ramadan. That's their religious.
Okay,
I'm talking about like telling their history,
They got.
That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No. You go ahead. No, I'm gonna let you talk. Go ahead.
No, what I was wondering was, I guess, is what you're really trying to say. I'm trying to really get and understand what you're trying to say when you say they don't have a history, because that's all we've learned. We are the ones who never had a history. I don't understand. You mean just because you don't hear them announce you hear them announce Black History Month, but you don't hear them saying Jewish Month or Caucasian Month or something like that? Is that what you mean?
No. I don't hear them saying the history about the Indians. They have a month for the Indians. Have a month for the American. A month for Caucasians. You know, like that. When they say the 4th of July, they talking about just the independence from Europe. I'm talking about American history right here when they came in America. So it's because their history starts when they came here. Even though they say they celebrate their independence, but they don't say nothing. They just say, we celebrate our independence. But then when they have Black history, they tell about all our people, some of the things that we done, some of the things that we didn't do. But the only thing we hear, we just be celebrating. They just celebrate their independence from Europe, but they don't say anything else about it. That's it. They used to talk about Hitler, but I guess they put a stop to that. And then the Indians, they don't have nothing about, they even like now, if you watch the Cowboy, watch the new Cowboys, the Bees of the Cowboy shows on TV. You don't see no Indians attacking it anymore. You don't see no Indians like that. They always have an Indian riding up. You know, they have an Indian war. No, they don't show that anymore. They don't show that. So I was just wondering, why is that? That we have to have a Black History Day, you know, tell all our history, but we don't know nothing about them. See, if you don't, how do you feed your enemy? You feed your enemy. You know your enemy. You know their weakness, and you know them. But if you don't, see, they know us, but we don't know them. See, they're not telling about the Indians. The Indians was here. They're not even telling the American history what happened in the beginning of the American. They say they're independent, but they don't say nothing. We just celebrate 4th of July, and we just found out that we celebrate 4th of July because of their independence from Europe, and that's it. They never say nothing else. That's it. They don't name no names. They don't name no people or anything. But they name all kind of people, all things, and then they never name the things then they talk about slavery and all that, but they don't talk about all the things that, why don't they talk about all the things then we invented? I said maybe because they know all the basics, most of the 98% of the things that was invented and discovered was about African Americans, and they don't know how to explain that. They don't want nobody to know that because they got to tell them who invented the stoplight, who built the railroad, who built the first engine for the Peterbilt that them rednecks love so much. They love that Peterbilt. And then they so prejudiced, but they don't know that African American man, the one that built the engine for the Peterbilt. That's crazy.
Wow.
So I'm just saying. So
look, this is real deep. Yeah, that's kind of deep for me. It's Quran. I can't.
You know what? No, Peterbilt. You know what Peterbilt is, huh? You know what Peterbilt is, huh?
What is it? Part of a car or something? No, I don't know. What is a Peterbilt?
No, it's one of the biggest trucks that 18-wheeler trucks that's on the road and it's one of the it's number one.
Well, you used to
it's
drive
number
a truck,
one.
Right? That's why you.
Yeah,
know.
That's why I'm saying it. Yeah, it's the number one truck. Everybody, that's yeah, true. You drive Peterbilt, boy, that's good. They got about like 13. Some of them have 13 gears.
I never heard of it.
That's what I'm saying. So we need to start teaching our children. We need to teach our children their history. We need to tell them about their grandmother because they still don't know. I said when they did have Black history, and then when they start telling about, because I didn't know about the iron and the writ and the stoplight until the children came back from school and said it, you know. In their history, mm-hmm. They was having history class. When they had all that, mm-hmm. I said, dang, I didn't know all that. Then they stopped. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So we need to start teaching our children the history, how to survive. Remember they on the TV they had about these little children that survived in the woods when the plane crashed, they had on the news, and the reason why they survived is because one child, she knew what food to eat and what food not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed. Okay. They said they stayed there for 40 days, and they found them. What food to eat? They was hungry, and they lost weight and all that, but they were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to teach our children how to survive. They get lost in the woods right down there. They don't know what to do. they don't know
yeah.
that if they see bamboo and they don't have no water, they could dig that up. They could drink the water from the bamboo, even from lily plants, too. They don't even know. They should know what, like you said, that little girl, she knew what plants to eat and what plant not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
To survive. So that's all
yeah.
I'm saying. It's time for us to start teaching our children now because they're not teaching them science in school, and they're not teaching them nothing dealing with biology, which was required. And I even think they're really teaching them English, like talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And social studies is their history. Ain't that something? And I said to myself, I said, just like I said, I think I said it before, if we was lied to for 400 years, and they was lied to 400 years, so they ain't going to know who they are either, because they began to believe the lie. So they don't even know who they are either. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. So we have alhamdulillah, that's right. And we have an advantage over them. We really have an advantage. So all we have to do is teach our children, you know, and don't give up your land. Everybody know land is like gold right now. Like, you know, but the only Elijah Muhammad is saying that if you got to have land. So if you have land, then you always have a place to stay. You always have a place where you can make money and grow food. You have a place where you can survive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to give. Don't give up your land. You don't supposed to sell your land. And where there's water, and let them know, remember, where there's water, there's life.
That's right. That's where we came from, water. That's where we came from, water. That's what the sperm was, water. Yep.
Okay, come on. Mouthful. A lot said.
And let them know that the medicine is right there. All the medicine that you need to cure the disease that you got, Allah got it right there for you. Right there for you. Even like I was looking up the bark of the pecan tree. You boil that, you know, that's good for any rashes and stuff like that. You'd be the leaves and all that, and the bark and the leaves, you'd be surprised. All that is medicine right there. That's why we didn't get sick, because when we was growing up, because our parents, the medicine was right there all the time.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Quran, for sharing that with us. And I know we used to have a professor at the college in New Jersey, you know, there, living there, went to the college there. He would always come out up here at Black History Month. Boy, he would be talking, he'd be almost like preaching, telling us about our history, things that happened to us, and slavery and all that sort of thing. But as soon as Black History Month was over, he called an assembly, and all the classrooms would go to the auditorium and hear him speak. He was a very, very fair-skinned man, but he looked like he was like a foreigner, you know, with the cold black hair and straight hair. And you would see him then. But after that, after the Black History Month, you wouldn't see him no more. No more. I'm telling you.
Do you know what I was just thinking? I was just thinking, I said, we should do is that like those brothers that be getting on YouTube and all that, we should tell them, why don't still of them letting them know that we was from slaves and all this too. I mean, that's okay. You could say that and how we was brought over here and all that. That's okay too. But then tell them all the things that we invented and discovered. All during Black History Month, I was listening. I was just listening. I'm listening for what we invented, what we discovered. Tell me, you know. Mm-hmm. Not one time I heard anybody say what we invented and what we discovered.
Mm.
You know. And all that, and even the water line. Did you know that a sister, do you know how they have the pipes running from your house to here to there and all that? A sister discovered that. Yeah, she the one that got that going. That we call the line, whatever they call it, she's the one that did it. Isn't that something? But they don't tell you that. That's what our children need to know. And that'll open up their imagination more, too, and where they could say, wow, so when I'm thinking of this, I could really do it. Because we did this, they could see that they could do this. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it because if your child don't think that you never did anything, your people never did nothing, then they'll think that what they thinking, well, you know, it ain't gonna work because we never did nothing anyway. And shoot, I say, well, I don't see nothing we did that they ain't gonna accept it, and all they gonna say all that, and they gonna start putting themselves in an inferior situation. That's what they're gonna do.
That's true.
They did it physically, but now they trying to get them mentally, and that's how they control you. If they control the mind, they control the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for our children, because they're growing up and they need to know.
Oh, yeah.
So they could use their imagine that you'd be surprised what they could do, because we, especially dealing with electronics, you know, like this new world, because we can only go so far. I know my mind can only go so far because I don't know all that stuff on a computer and all this. I can't make that computer dance. I'm sure I probably could make that computer dance. Hey, I ain't
make it dance.
If you live long enough, and you're gonna see the computer, they're gonna have the computer dance, and then you're gonna say, because it's gonna be like a robot and play in the computer at the same time, you're gonna say, "Dang, Sister Karan was talking about that."
Karan, guess what? It's already been done. Don't you remember that song, Computer Love? Don't you remember that song, Computer Love?
Yes, they already got it. They already got it, Dance. I'm behind.
You forgot.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot. I'm behind. They already got it, Dance.
If anybody anything else to say, please just push one and you'll be brought into the queue. Your mic will be turned on if you have any current event or anything to share with us about children, about the children, their education, or the virus and health, and the message of concern, all of that. We're focusing now, Brother Ali had asked if we would focus more now on Sister Clara Muhammad STEM schools and the schools for the children, instead of building a masjid. You know, you build a school, you have a school, you can always have the masjid in the school. You know, you can have a room or two set aside for the masjid part. You can have weddings there. You can have any occasion there, and they can pay for it. We do that now at, we've been doing it since I've been down here. I've been out of America 18 years now. We've been over at El Mu'minun, they rent out the hall for the young sisters, sisters of UNCTA, to teach the young sisters, and they rent it, yeah, at a certain time of the year, and they rent that hall over there. It's a nice big one, part on the sister side of the Musala, of the masjid, you know, Musala on one side, sister on one side. And they teach the children, the sisters, the rites of UNCTA, how to cook, how to provide fam for, like MGT. You know,
that's good.
MGT. Yeah, they've been doing it ever since I've been here. I've been here for 18 years now.
That's, and you know what, Sister Dahlia, you saying that, and I was just thinking about that, during the day. You know, earlier today I was thinking about that, how we was in school, and I said, "Dang, I remember in school we had cooking, sewing, and the brothers they did carpenter and how to
home
fix
economics.
Cars, yeah, and home economics, and they know how to they were doing mechanics and all that stuff, yeah. That is
For the sisters it was home economics, and for the brothers what they call it?
Carpenter and mechanic. They had a little small carpenter like mechanic. At least know how to change the tire and they had to build. Yeah, you know, like that. And but they don't have that. They have nothing like that anymore.
No.
And then the guys that was in came out of jail, they couldn't come out unless they had some type of trade.
When was this?
That was here in Louisiana.
Okay. Because I'm going to say they're always making license tags and the uniforms and all that kind of stuff, sewing.
No. See, they have to, when they come out, they have to be getting into a trade school. They have to have some kind of trade. They have to either trade. They either take the trade and while they are there, or either when they come out, they have to go into a trade school. Yeah, like that. They couldn't just come out and just be put out on the street like they're doing now. You know, they can't get no job. They ain't go no. Can't do nothing. They don't. It wasn't like that. They always had, you know. And like I said, they still got their program where they have on the job training.
Well, you know, when I had the reentry program, and I had it for like 5 years or more. The brothers, Georgia Urban League would had a day for the ex-offenders, you know, for the house that I had there, and would teach them, have classes for them, whatever area they were short in, whether social skills, you know, whether it's the psychology, the mental status, and then they found jobs for them. And they had grants, too, that they would give the people who would hire the ex-offenders. And part of my question, like 90 days, they would have one of those months, too. First month was all for them. You know, it was all about you, getting yourself together, make your plan, you know, take on your responsibility. You're free now. Along with freedom comes responsibility. So now you get down or get with it, you know. And they would have someone to come to the house to give them Islamic studies, read the Quran. And, you know, we couldn't discriminate as far as the religions, you know, but most of them knew about El Islam, the one that the brother talked to and released there. Because the masjid was right there around the corner, and you could hear the name being called from the masjid. The brothers that were there would get up and go to the masjid for Fajr, come back, and they spend a lot of time. But they wouldn't have a skill. The brother that went to a synagogue and young brother and did the bargaining, whatever you call it, with the business as far as in synagogue. His father from at the Supreme Fish place, and I know his name, and he's getting married soon again. Samshadeen.
Yeah.
Brother Samshadeen. Yeah, getting married again soon. His ex-wife passed, returned to Allah. And his son, Samshadeen, went to Saudi Arabia and had the halal lamb burgers, and he's doing trade with them, and then he went to synagogue as well. You know, and to get the business and everything over there. So they would have, Brother Samshadeen was the one who helped a couple of the brothers that lived in the house that I had, the reentry home that I had for them, and let them work there, taught them how to serve and how to fry the fish and all that kind of stuff. And they would get a little, the business themselves would get a little grant, a little money for that, you know. But he was the only one, and he was very instrumental in that. And then I just stopped the reentry after 5 years because of the flood in the house. I was leasing it.
I have.
Go ahead.
No, I had a question. It came to my mind. I said, why? Because I was thinking about the people that coming over to America. I said, why would you want to leave your country? Why you want to leave your country? Like the ma'am said, my husband, he was telling me that Imam stated that we will never turn against America, never turn against America, you know, with another country. You know, what we'll do, we'll just change. If there's a problem, we'll change it. So I was thinking, well, I said, why? Well, no, I'm thinking about the Latinos and the Pakistanians and all them. I say, why you want to leave your country? Why you? And they not coming in a thousand. They coming in millions. So I'm just saying, why you want to leave your
freedom here? They think it's more freedom here. You know, those little countries have been fighting for years and years.
No. This is what you're supposed to do. Like you said, like we said, you're supposed to change it. The majority rules. You don't let Satan, you don't give Satan that power. You don't let them take over, especially if they wrong. Now, I'm trying to say, which one is wrong? The one that's coming over or the one that's staying? See, somebody is wrong. So which one is...
I don't want to strike up the band, you know, because somebody prepared them for that. If the United States paid for the weapons and everything that was supposed to be used over there in Iran, and then said they getting rid of Saddam Hussein because of his weapons of destruction or something like that. I forget. It's on tip of my tongue. I can't bring it out exact words. But anyway, they thought he had a lot of weapons and things hidden. But the United States had supplied them with the weapons. And they didn't go over there for that in the first place. They went over to take over the oil and stuff like that and become owners of the people's possession there. And they said that Saddam Hussein had a regime where he was treating some of the people less humane than he was with the others. It's like a communist society where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But, you know, so, and that's what that was about. So it's such a lie.
But we have to remember, Allah is so merciful. Allah is so merciful. The only way Satan get his power is the power we give him. Allah does not support wrong. So it's like they knew it was coming over. Ain't nobody but didn't say nothing. Ain't nobody stop it before they got strong. How you gonna try to stop? How you gonna stop? You stop them when they getting ready to start it, when they're weak. How you gonna stop them when they got strong with the equipment and the weapons and everything? Now you can't do nothing. But they knew it was happening before it got like that. That's not the merciful Allah. Allah ain't gonna let nothing come on. Allah is so merciful and so just. He ain't gonna let nobody come up on the people without letting them know. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't change this, this is what's going to happen. Just like our children. If we don't teach our children, history is going to repeat themselves. They got to know their history. They got to know who they are. They got to know how to survive. That's how when they had Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, and I remember my brother, they knew everything about how to survive. Our children write down, ask them do they know how to build a campfire. And what woods to get to build a campfire?
That's Boy Scouts.
And what rocks you could get together to build? You could rub together to build a fire. It's certain rocks you got to do that. That's right. That's right. So those are things that they learned. They learned that. And so especially in the area that you live in, like the area you live in, then they should know. And then they should always know if something happened. If a fire break out in your house, they say, I remember the time they said, you have to have an escape plan. If a fire break in your house right now, sometimes I'd be thinking about a fire break in my house, where am I go? I could get out of?
That's negligence on your part because you're supposed to have evacuation plan for
that's
your safety.
Right. That's right.
For emergency and every exit.
And then you're supposed to have a plan. Then when that beast knock on your door, and you don't know when, because they don't know when they'll do knock on your door. How are you going to escape? How are you going to get out to save yourself and your family and tell them what to do? Even then, and that's something that we need to start teaching our children. That's why a lot of them getting shot down because they don't know what to do. You don't walk into no neighborhood knowing everybody packing and you ain't packing, and then you see the police and you don't know where to go hide at. So make sure that he don't shoot you. Oh, well, you could take cover. I said take cover. We'll take cover. I said, so because we need to teach especially our boys, because our boys are going to be out there more than our boys is the one that's going to be out there. And we need our brothers.
Maybe
we need them.
Schools first, and we can have a time for the fire drills and all that sort of stuff, and they can be taught. When we get our schools together for them, then we'll have
that's right. That's right. That's what we need. That's what we need. But we need to teach them at home, too, because sometimes it might happen tomorrow. teach him at home too, and tell
right.
and we need to tell our and we need to tell our boy, tell our daughters and you can our daughters and our sons about certain people that you meet, certain things you don't supposed to do, certain things you don't supposed to do. You know, when you meet, go out there, they're gonna meet, you know, boy meet girl. You gotta tell them certain things you don't supposed to do, and let them know that. And then that's a disadvantage with I'll say without when they took the man out the house, they knew exactly what they was doing, because the brothers are the one that's in lead. They are the one that's in basically in the leadership of the woman. You know what I'm saying? And so here it is that if they don't know, how could they protect their family? How could they do it? How could they know? And how could they survive out there?
What did MDT say? What was taught in your MDT class? What did we learn? Learn how to take care of your home, how to take yourself at home and abroad, and how to take care of the belongings, the home when your husband is away.
That's right.
There is no man.
That's right. Woman. And we got to teach our children how to survive in this day and time, because what's going on in this day and time, we didn't have it. We didn't have drugs in our elite. We didn't have drugs in the neighborhood that I didn't know about, that our children know all about. 9 years old, they smoke weed. So I was saying that our children didn't know. So we didn't have drugs in the neighborhood. We didn't have homosexuals in the neighborhood. We didn't see them. They stayed in the closet if they was out there. They was in the closet. That's right. They was in the closet. That's right there. They stayed in the closet.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Wait a minute. One minute, Karan. Let me just mention, if anyone else would have anything to say or want to share with us, please just push one on your receiver, and we'll bring you into the queue, and we'll open up your mic. Okay, if you have anything to say, please. We're sharing today, and we're talking about everything, though, a little bit of everything, especially the children, still on the children, though, in the family. So the hour is 8:27, and the board is really, really full here. So somebody else should have something to say. Somebody else should have something to say now.
I want to say one more thing, Daya, that
okay,
we need to. Okay, we really need to start teaching our children about Allah, teaching about the Ten Commandments. A lot of them don't know that a lot of our children don't know when you say the Ten Commandments, the first thing they think about is Christians. They don't know that the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, we honor the Ten Commandments. If they say they know the Ten Commandments, like I was telling to my grandson, I said, if you know the Ten Commandments, then you're on the right track, because that's the law of Almighty God. Those are the laws that God brought down and gave to Moses. Alhamdulillah. So we need to, I asked, I think I said to be child, he was about 25 years old. And I said, do you know the Ten Commandments? Like that, because we were talking about, you know, religion. And I said, do you know the Ten Commandments? I said, because we believe in the Ten Commandments. And he said, yeah. I said, say the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. That's all he knew. He couldn't go no further.
Well, that's one of the main. Well, those are two.
Honor thy mother and thy father. No. I know, all of them is important.
No,
look, honor thy mother and thy father.
But if they got those two, you know, that's survival out there in the streets when they know they're not supposed to steal.
That's right.
And know they're not supposed to kill, you know what I'm saying? And they know they're not supposed to be stacking old folks, no pocketbooks and all that kind of stuff. All that, you know, including the Ten Commandments. And then we know we have to honor our mother and our father. They may be longer up on the spirit of God, Lord, that God's given me.
And you know what? That's something that we need to teach our children, too. It's the law of Almighty God, because a lot of them don't know. They don't know. And it's in the Holy Quran, but still of all, they don't.
it's not registering like that. Like it's a law. You know what I'm saying? Like this is
well, that's
just,
why they need a school they
do.
Can go to and be
that's
taught
right.
these things. Because parents are working and going on now and don't have a lot of time. So they do depend on the teachers more, you know, than they used to. But they hold the teacher in high esteem. Some of them almost like give the children to the teacher because they don't help them at all when they get home. So they give the children to the teacher. And then when they get home, it's all over until they see the teacher to the mother the next day. So got to have qualified
Sister Diana,
teachers.
They, like someone said, we need our own school teaching our children
definitely.
Because they don't teach them. They are not even allowed to teach that in school. That's the
to
thing about
what?
It. They taught it when I was growing up, you know, but they're not
what?
Allowed to teach thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, anything dealing with religion.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I just want to know, do they still pledge allegiance to the flag? You can't get
now
up and pray in school.
They stopped that a long time ago.
Oh, you can't
pledge
me? They don't pledge me to the flag? I know they don't pray.
A lot of them. I can't talk same time. A lot of times they ignore it. I mean, a lot of times they don't. They took prayer out of schools. So if they took prayer out of school, wasn't that following the Pledge of Allegiance?
No.
No,
because some
okay.
people,
well,
some of the families, the reason why they,
okay.
I was saying no, because the reason why, because some of them don't believe, some of them don't believe in God, and that's one thing is a lot of them don't, they don't believe in God, and so since the atheists don't believe in God, then they figure like it's not fair for their children or for them to have to say the prayer, say prayers when they don't believe in God. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe she had answered to her law for that. She's gone now, but I know that she knows that was wrong before she left this earth. I know she knew that was wrong and found out and realized that she was wrong for taking her out of school and being the one responsible for them from passing that law. I know she recalled and remembered that she was wrong. If anyone else has anything to say, please push one on your receiver. And you'll be brought into the queue, and your mic will be opened. Meanwhile, we'll keep on talking with Sister Karan.
You know I don't talk much.
No, you don't talk much. When you get wound up, it's like, wind me up. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, but it's better than being just quiet. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody asking any questions. Or nobody adding anything on. And listen to me now. They're going to get on me. You can't make nobody get on.
That's right. Because there's no force in Islam. Sometimes, because I be quiet. Sometimes we just want to listen. You know, just want to listen to hear.
Nothing is compulsory. We know that nothing
is
compulsory in El-Islam. Right. That's what it says. Nothing is compulsory in El-Islam. That means you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You're right about that. I was wondering, is this true? I was watching television, and they had a chicken on the, I don't know what that was. I think that was on the, not on the piano, on a little small piano. And I think they was playing a song. It was a common song that we always, thing in school have in school. I don't know it was okay. Oh, Say Can You See or something like that. But he was playing on the. I mean, he was actually playing music on the piano. I wonder was that true? But I don't know because they be having robots and the robots be making them things look just like they real. Some kids would do anything to that make that TV look make them things look like that. They probably did that on, and it was children too that said that it was their pet chicken up there singing up there playing. Oh, Say Can't You See? And the chicken didn't miss a note.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. And I thought about it. I said, wait a minute, everybody of them children, you know, I had to, they could make them computers do all kind of stuff now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like in New York City. I saw, too, it was on the TV, when they was on the YouTube something, that a pigeon was in a, like, Central Park or something like that in New York City, or around the area where there was a guy playing beat the drums or picking his guitar and singing. And the pigeon sat there for a while. Next thing you know, pigeon started hopping around to the music, beat to the beat like he was dancing. And when the band would stop, he would stop.
that's probably that computer. I just can't believe all that. I just can't. Just can't believe all that. That's too much.
Yeah. It happened. It happened.
That's right.
Strange things happening every day.
And then we need to, alhamdulillah. Sometimes you say you say things, but you have to, when you do it, then you do it. But I was just saying our children need to know about, I was thinking the day too that I think I said it before, our children need to know about business. That that's, just think how many, you know, our children need to know about business. They really need to. So I said to myself, I was telling somebody that I was going to basically start off with my children, start selling, you know what I'm saying? They really need to know about business. If you don't, mm-hmm. We might be old enough to see where our children, you know, that we're going to be right back where we started from. We don't want to do that. We don't want to talk it up, and we don't want that yet. So we need to start, you know, really need to start talking about how could we get out, how could we do this, and how could we do that. We got access.
Moving forward.
That's right. We got access. Like you said, we got a lot of people that have lots of land. We just got access, you know, and we got to teach them how to use it. That's all.
Yeah.
And teach them how to fight. We got to teach them how to fight and defend themselves. Because if you don't, they're going to come after them. And that's what's weakening you, when you be afraid that you can't defend yourself.
Fear is a lot of things. They used to work opposite. Isn't there something? Before, we used to be afraid you would come out fighting. It's like they say, you hear a dog in a corner, and he's afraid he'll come out fighting, barking. He put his tail on behind between his legs and walk on off, you know. But now it's you just be backed up in a corner, and you'd be afraid to even come out and do anything. This fear is a different fear nowadays.
And then we must let our children know that one thing, that Allah, that Satan will always show his face. That's the mercy from Allah. And so when you see it, then you prepared. Or you could just leave that scene or that set, wherever you at. Don't follow people that do wrong. Don't let nobody tell you, let's go do this. I said, you tell them you already know how to do wrong. Don't let nobody tell you, well, let's go do this and do something wrong. I say, and so we have to teach them that. We have to teach them that. There ain't nothing wrong with saying, no, I ain't going to do this. That don't mean you're a square.
Crap, you're a dinner.
If you don't know what's square. Yeah, that's what they be calling a square. You don't know what's happening, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what they say out there, but they don't mean to let them know that the main thing is don't follow nobody to do wrong. You already know how to do wrong. You don't have to go do wrong with nobody. You already know how to do it. Just do right.
Look like it just come automatically.
Yeah, because and then the main thing, you let them know, you got to just tell them the truth. Because see, if you do wrong, you could already always correct it yourself. You know what I'm saying? And back off. But if you go do wrong with somebody else, then do it because it's their wrong that you're following. So you don't know what, you know, don't go, you don't know, you don't know which way to go. Yeah, you'll be stuck. Yeah, and then the majority of the time of the people that follow somebody do wrong, they the one that get hurt. They the one that get killed. They the one that ends up in jail. The majority of the time. fall in somebody. Mm-hmm. And we need to teach those, and we need to teach those things to our children. And we need to teach them that because when they go out in the streets, what to do and what to look for, and be aware of this and all that. And they need to know this. They can't, because when you go out, that's, they just need to know this. If they don't, how are they going to survive out there?
Right.
We need to teach, and that's why they need daddies. A lot of them, like I said, the majority of the brothers that's in jail right now, they don't have daddies. They don't have them. They didn't have no man raise them up. They ain't gonna say they don't have no dad. They ain't had no man in the house to raise them. Mm-hmm. And now, if the daddy mm-hmm. and the daddy should know, because you ain't with the woman, that's your child. You're supposed to still give that child some time.
Yeah.
You're supposed to still give him some time.
True.
And then if you have a problem with the mom, and then you know that you're supposed to do your part, then you just go on to the welfare office or whatever it is that you have to do to get your rights. You can get your rights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it alone.
Yes. If anyone else is 841, would anyone else like to contribute anything toward what Sister Karan has said, ask any questions, or if you would like to start another topic? You have 15 minutes, well, about 20 minutes to do that. Okay, we've read already. Sister Karan has talked, spoken, I've spoken somewhat on some things.
Well, I do want to say one more thing, Sister Daya. Because usually when I sometimes be watching TV or watching different lectures of different things, I always say, how many times they mention God's name or say something about God? And that's what I thought about myself that too. You know, I said, how many times I mention God's name, Allah's name? We definitely need to teach our children about Allah first.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need to teach them about Allah. And a lot of our children don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. We need to teach them about Allah. And
it's
let them know that
it's
only one God. You can't put no partners with Allah. You can't say,
mm-hmm.
you can't put no partners with Allah.
That's right.
Alhamdulillah. We have to do that because a lot of them don't know. They see one face up there doing this and doing that, and we just have to let them know. We just have to let them know. So. And then when you look and then when they see people who making decisions about the United States of America and other countries,
mm-hmm.
what race do they? I look for my people. I look for at least to see if I can see one that looks like me.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I don't see any. And sometimes I don't see any.
Really?
Yeah. They're just watch TV and like even like on the news now, since the other guy went off, all on the news now, all I see is them. I don't see us on there anymore like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the other brother got off, which need to have been taken off anyway because of his shamefulness.
Right. Yep.
And then they get banned, and you know, they, like I said, you know, in the Constitution and the amendments, and we haven't stood up for this one, and the amendments, you know, the amendments, they are, and it's in the third or the 13th amendments, because that's the one I was looking at. I remember that. The word nigger is against the law. You can't say that word nigger. Can't say that word nigger. And I said, and then when I saw it in the amendments that word nigger is against the law, I said, but they say it all on TV. They say it all on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then the definition, you know the definition, see, you teach our children, you say, you know the definition of a nigger? A nigger is the one that doesn't have the knowledge of himself. Right?
Is that right?
A lot of,
yeah, that's what they said. That's, yeah, that, that, that's
different.
The,
different meanings. Yeah, they got different meanings for them.
Oh, okay, now what other means you had besides
said,
that? Because I had. Cause, go ahead.
Okay, remember when they used to teach on Dower, and you get someone dirty, low down, and foul, and
Yeah, that too. I didn't add that on to yet. All that, the one who have knowledge of himself and all that too, all that goes under it.
Yeah. Okay.
But the main thing, they don't have knowledge of themselves. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, are the Caucasians, they're niggers. I said, they're niggers.
They're calling us niggers
because they ain't going to know. Huh?
Have you heard one that mentioned that it discriminates? Only talking about African American or done with darker skin or lighter skin. Have you read any definition?
No, I ain't read nothing like that. But
okay.
I was just thinking about that. I said they're niggers because they don't have the knowledge of themselves. For 400 years, not only we've been lied to for 400 years, but they've been carrying a lie too because they people been telling them a lie. So they don't even know who they are either. So they just, as and it says, always take one, no one.
You know, Akbar, do you remember Akbar telling that story about when they were on the elevator and said they were gung-ho under the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, and said that he got on the elevator and the man said something, did something to him. He said, you know what, you're the devil. He said, the man put his hand up on his chin and let me say, you know what, maybe you're right.
Look, if back in the days they used to call their children, you remember that back in the days on TV they just said, oh, he's just a little devil.
Yep.
Yeah, I said, but when Elijah Muhammad came out there and forced that day the devil, then they stopped calling each other the devil. I remember that.
They the only one that had the right to call him the devil.
Yeah, too much. They just a little devil. I said, wow. I said, okay. And I saw that. I said, wow. Oh, him do the law.
Oh, fit it in. Yeah. Well, so it'll be time. And Brother Amin told me I could close early if I wanted to. Since I was a little bit late, I better go on to 9. It's over now, Sister Karan. You got the shoe. You had the whole shoe tonight.
No, not me. It's we.
Because we got the whole show tonight, huh?
Yeah, we had the whole show. We had the whole show tonight. The whole show. Help him do the law.
If you're trying to get through it, and we are talking about things that are important, and we are talking about the schools, and we are talking about the children, so we're not too much off track. And we are talking about some El-Islam. We're covering some of that, you know, the El-Islam, too, as far as the image is concerned. So you're doing the talking. Nobody else has raised their hand, you know, to say anything, to indicate they want to say anything. Just listen to us trying to see what we're going to say, I guess. But it's all good. All good.
Well, I'm glad they took that image. I'm glad they took that image down. And most of the churches, they don't have that. So they must have got hip to that by they taking that image out. If you go in most churches, you ain't going to see that image of so-called, you know, I want to say that.
Jesus Christ hanging on the cross.
Right.
Imitating God. It's true.
Yeah, but they have the cross up there, though. But they have the cross there. Okay. And then, you know, on the cross, I'm getting kind of confused a little bit because they say that, you know, they say, okay, now, It said, well, Jesus was really never nailed on the cross. I mean, I'm just trying to, Jesus
right.
was never
you
nailed
it was
on
somebody
the,
else. They said it was somebody
yeah.
else.
Right. Yeah, and so they just see all that falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing, all that falsehood that they got out there. Why couldn't they just tell the truth?
That he never professed to be in God and he was never God. That's
yeah,
right.
Him
they
do the law.
Just told the truth. Yeah, they should broadcast that.
But I can tell you what thing. Let me tell you, my brother, our brother Tyree said, shoot, them Caucasians dance sometimes better than we out there now, boy. He says, now it's time for, he said, when they could dance better, when they could start got the dance and they dance almost better than us, I said, it's time for us to move on. He said, it's time for us to move on. They got the dance now, boy. I'm not lying. I said, dang.
That's all they're about. That's all they're about now, dancing, trying to pattern dance behind us. That's what they're about. And that's what, well, I'm not going to say that, but that's why they put in so many of our males. Why they ran crazy.
Look, because their dance was square dancing. I said, so I'm trying to say, I said, so.
It was.
I want to see a dance that they bring out that they have started. Not the African-Americans, a dance that they have, besides square dancing, because we know about the square dance and the hokey pokey.
Hokey pokey. They what got one called Scootin' Buddy.
who they do that or something?
Yeah, that's theirs. It's a part of another part of a dance that included into the square dance.
Yeah. I even saw where the Jews. You know, because they do a certain kind of, dance that they be doing, like that together and like that. And then today I saw on TV, they was doing them dance, like them kids be on Africa be doing and all that stuff like that, that new step they got. I said, I saw them doing that. I said, wow.
You know, some part of Africa, though, they believe that Jerusalem is the promised land. So some Africans... One of my favorite songs they be playing too. The Africans be playing. She says, "I don't understand how they get that. I'm gonna have to read that up."
But isn't that where we gotta do that because didn't Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then he travel to Jerusalem?
I think so. I'm not for sure. If he didn't, now maybe ask somebody. Anybody on the line want to ask that question for us, please? Did Prophet Muhammad travel to Jerusalem? Now I know they hear me.
Because they read, sister, read. Y'all know that? You need to go read.
No,
We can't remember. We just don't remember. That's all. We can have.
No, I'm not
we have
that.
Well, I don't remember. Well, okay.
No, I'm not
going
to claim that. No, because during Ramadan, when you read the the 30 juices, you would have covered somewhere in there whatever it is you're supposed to know. That's this Ramadan. But then next Ramadan come, you read the same thing, you learn something else, something different. Look like each Ramadan, when you read the whole of the Quran, you're reading the same thing, but you're getting a more understanding and more light is being shed on you when you read it, you know? And I call that immaculate conception. I call that the miracle, brother. Yes.
But let me tell you something very, very important. Ida Hart have passed, haven't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Ida Fitcher is coming next month.
Well, now Ida Fitcher is what? I'm just. Because I just want to get something clear.
Adha is after Ramadan. The fast.
Ida Hart. No, I don't think it's Ida hard as Eid al-Fitr is Ramadan. Eid al-Adha is hard. No, because no. I was asking you the time and the date, not the title, because the reason why, because somebody said Ramadan. No, not Ramadan. They said
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. They were talking about Eid Mubarak. No. They were talking about they were talking about Eid al-Adha. They said Eid al-Adha, and I said Eid al-Adha. I said that's one of the most. That is more important than Eid al-Fitr. You know, during Ramadan, that is more important.
Not.
Yeah, oh, check it out. I thought so too.
Right.
Check it.
What I'm saying now. You're absolutely
okay, go ahead.
Right. I'm not debating you with that. Eid al-Adha
okay.
is the first one after Ramadan. You know.
You're right.
Eid al-Fitr. It's the one that comes
Ramadan.
That's
Ramadan. Eid al-Fitr is Ramadan. Mm-hmm. After Ramadan,
okay.
That's when we celebrate.
And are you confusing me? Because I know what they.
Mhm. The reason why I said it is because that is the most important. They said that is more important than Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan, and I said, but I didn't hear nothing about it. Usually they'll say something about it and, you know, this and that. I didn't hear nothing about it until a sister texted me and said, Eid al-Adha. Mubarak, you know, she said Eid al-Adha. And it's a day. I didn't hear nothing about it. No one that's never said, like doing, you be talking, you see it on the, in the newsletter or something like that. I didn't hear nothing about it. That's the first time I saw it. I know, no one said anything. I didn't hear no one say nothing about it. That's what I was talking about. So I'm going to check it out on the calendar and see, because I said,
Eid al-Adha.
It's three months after Ramadan.
Whichever one they call it, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Adha, whatever. It's a Ramadan. They'll say Ramadan Mubarak, and they'll say Eid Mubarak.
I'm gonna check it out on the calendar because
it says right here, Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice, is the second of the two main holidays celebrated in Islam. The second, so that's
what
one that's coming
what
up
month?
Now. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And it says part of their meat is consumed by the family, which other okay. Then it says sweet and good. Okay, the Islamic lunar calendar. And Eid al-Adha falls on the 10th day. Well, I'm trying to tell you, Quran, if you just wait a second.
Okay, I'll wait. Go
like
ahead.
That.
No, then go ahead on. Go ahead.
Eid al-Adha falls on the 10th day of Mu'l-Hijjah and lasts for 4 days. Okay, now that's the one, like you said, is one that's coming up. And it's on the, here, I'll tell you right now. It's Eid al-Adha comes the 20th, no, the 8th of July.
Oh, July, okay. Where's July? Okay, then.
Eid al-Adha comes on the 8th of July.
Okay.
And the 20th, it's the 20th of the Muslim, of the lunar calendar, the Muslim calendar.
And I just want to say one thing, Sister Daya. So when you was talking to me like I was no, don't say anything like when I finished. When you was talking to me like I was a child, you know what came to my mind? I said, well, yeah, you could talk to me like that, but just give me my lunch money.
But let me tell you, Karan, I don't like to argue over the phone. And you
I don't like to argue.
Over.
this is what I'm saying. You talk louder, and you don't know what I'm saying, and I'm saying the same thing you're saying, and then we're just coming to a shouting match, and that's inappropriate.
I really don't know what you're talking about, but if you want to talk to me like that, just, you know, you could mail my, I'll give you my address, and you can mail my lunch money to me. That's all.
I don't want to.
Just mail me my lunch money. I just want the child's or stuff that children are supposed to get, and that's lunch money and all that stuff.
If you think that you are being a child, then you need to act like a child.
I know. I care as long as you pay me my lunch money.
Yeah, you too much.
I ain't lying. So y'all just messing with you, girl. Go ahead.
Three people. Yeah, you haven't. You have been a long time since you ruffled my dangers, and you always be trying to do that. Yeah.
My son told me.
Too old for that.
I know. But you know, my son told me. He said, "Mom, sometimes you talk like you ain't never talked to nobody in a long time." That's what he told me.
The lady has announced already. Somebody got their phone on. Could you please mute your phone or something? Please. I'm trying to get through this right here. We have two people who have raised their hands to say something. And I wanted to try to get them on the line before it's time to go off. Okay, so Brother Sharif, looks like he hung up the phone. And Brother Muhammad, he hung up the phone too. And then we got Sister Lala. We got Haja Lala?
Yes.
And Haja Lala. Okay, you're still on there. Okay, Sister. You finished Quran? It's 9:02.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It was good discussing with you, Quran, and we're gonna let Haja say a few words or inspiration. We ain't gonna be able to do but one, I guess, tonight, and then we can close out. Inshallah. You feel like you want to do that, Sister Haja?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You can go right ahead.
Okay. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless us, forgive us, accept our du'as, multiply our hasanats, grant us good health and happiness, increase our knowledge, amen, and ultimately grant us Jannah Firdaus. Ameen. I have another. We should close out.
Close out, right. It's just a couple of minutes after.
Okay. Lord of the Lord, may Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, Wawas, and Asalalafik, and Adina, Amano, Amano, Wasawasi, the Hak, Wasawasi, the Sub.
Amen. Okay, then we're gonna. So you didn't say a second when you went on and closed out, and that was good. Because Muhammad had dropped off, so we had good discussions tonight. She had been on a little bit earlier. We could have discussed.
Yeah.
Sister Quran trying to work my last nerve. Sister Quran trying to get me all hyped up.
Okay.
That's not true.
You haven't heard me act like that in a long time. Haven't heard me talk to my giver her lunch money. So I was talking to her like a child. You're on to something else, I tell you.
Yeah.
I hope I made your night, Sister Quran.
Alhamdulillah.
You can talk to me like they're sending my lunch money.
That's right. How much is lunch money?
That's a good question. How much is lunch money?
$10,000.
You better do it. That's not lunch money. That's life money. Life. That's life money.
Rent money, too.
I tell you, all kind of money there. We're going to close out then. It's after 9 o'clock, and I see one to call Brother Imam, instead of saying Brother Imam. I'd be getting ready to say Brother Imam. He's gone. He left on off. So we're going to say thank you all for coming on. I enjoyed talking to you and discussing things with your sister, Quran. And I'll see if I can. See what I can do to try to help get the lunch money to make. I wanted to laugh, but I had to still act grown, you know, and say that you trying to get me upset. You know how you want to act like a child yourself in the room? Now you trying to be smart. I said we on the air now. I can't be saying it. Even though she done showed out already.
Oh,
let me get on this line. Come on. This you got. I got to get laughed. I'll lick him out the lamb. Rock much a lot better. Thank you. Okay.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sister Hodges. Talk to y'all. I'm lick him.
Put down over here now. Okay. Uh-huh.